Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you would help us tonight, help this preacher. Lord, we've got a group of young people sitting on this front row that mean a whole lot to this pastor and this church. We've got parents represented here, Lord, who spent a lifetime preparing these young people, raising these young people, praying for them, providing for them. And that, Lord, I believe everyone is on the same page in this regard. We all want the best for these young people. We want you, Lord, to take them and use them, protect them and watch over them. Keep them within your will, Lord. Help them, God, each step of the path. We pray in a special way, Lord, for our 3 Bible college students, the 3 that will be entering in Bible college for their very first year, Lord, that you'll take good care of them and help them. Lord, I pray that you'll bless what's said from this pulpit tonight, and Lord, may it go deep in their hearts, and Lord, may it be used by you, your Holy Spirit, Lord, to help guide them as they go forward. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. We are blessed to be able to have scheduled for enrollment here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church 10 of our young people in the Bible College this fall. That's amazing. I don't know if I can convey to you what a miracle that is for a church this size, a country church. There's people that minister, good men, good churches, men that minister their entire life and never see a young person go to Bible college, or maybe in an entire ministry see 1 or 2 or 3 go to Bible college. We've been blessed here. I appreciate the young people. I appreciate their willingness to seek out the will of God, and as God unfolded this in their life, to follow Him. 2 of our young people that will be re-entering Bible college and aren't with us tonight. And let me give you an update on them. Caleb Hall is going to go ahead and enroll this semester. Caleb would have been done at the end of this summer. We talked about that. He's within 10 credits now of graduating. He's got one more partial semester to go. He is not in a real hurry to leave because he's still wife shopping. And so pray about that, amen. I don't know which would be a bigger miracle, Caleb getting a diploma or a wife. I don't know, but Caleb's a good young man. He's a good young man. I mean that with all my heart. I can kid about him because I have a lot of respect for him. He's worked, he's scratched, he's clawed, he's succeeded, he's failed, he's got up and succeeded some more, and he's, God takes you through a lot. You young men, if God calls you into the ministry, you're going to find out that the preparatory years God doesn't necessarily make them easy, because He's trying to put some things in you. But so he's going this semester. He'll be marching in May, Lord willing. And next semester, he may still stay in the area up there and work. And so pray for him. Also, Lindsay Klein. I wish she was here. I miss Lindsay. But I understand what she's doing, and she's right where she ought to be. She'll be attending. Oh, by the way, Caleb will be attending Hiles Anderson College up at Crown Point, Indiana. Lindsay will be going to West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Lancaster, California. And we miss her. Lindsay had a good first year. I didn't get a chance to talk to her. I tried to put in a call kind of last minute late this afternoon. They're on such a different time as us. We're trying to make a connection. But so I can't tell you that I talked to her today and can give you a report straight from her. But she had a good first year. She didn't work Mrs. Klein her first semester, right? Didn't she get her job her second semester? With Lindsay, she does have to work some, as most of these young people will. And her second semester, I know it was a challenge for her, but she did well. And be sure and pray for her. She'll be entering her second year at West Coast Baptist College. Now, let me just go down through here and tell you who's doing what, so that you'll kind of know. Heather Wilfong will be leaving this Saturday. She'll be attending Shawnee Baptist College down in New Albany, Indiana. I told the young people, I'm so glad I can say that those going to Shawnee, I can say it's in New Albany, Indiana. I said, it's just going to make your parents feel better. You know, there's only 10 miles difference from where it was before, but just the fact that it's in Indiana, I think there'll be much more the blessing of God on that college just for being in the same state here. Heather's going for her very first year, and she's entering her freshman year, and hopefully she'll be going by herself. Her mother may move into the dorm room with her. I'm not sure. We're still working on that, amen, but pray. pray for the Campbells and pray for Heather as she goes. I'm so proud of her, just so very proud of her. Matt Harrison, I don't have these in any certain order, so I'm going to stay with my paper. Matt Harrison is going his very first year, and he's going to be attending Commonwealth Baptist College in Lexington, Kentucky. He'll be leaving on the 20th, and we're very, very proud of Matt. And we've got to watch Matt grow up around here and grow up and grow up and grow up. And Matt's been a joy to have here. I'm going to miss all of these young people. I mean that, but I'm going to miss Matt. I'm just going to miss having him around here. Abigail English is going for her second year. She's leaving this Tuesday, and she'll be going back to Shawnee Baptist College in New Albany, Indiana. And I want you to pray for Abigail. Getting through your first year, sometimes you think, well, they've got a year under their belt, they're okay. But I'm going to tell you something, it doesn't get easier, it gets tougher. And God knows that, and God's there to help them. But at the same time, I think as young people begin to advance, Satan sometimes heightens the attacks. This young lady had an amazing first year in some of the things she had to go through. And let me say this from the pulpit. This preacher's proud of this girl. It hasn't been easy. It's been a struggle. But she has hung tough and hung in there. And she's going back, and I'm just as proud of her as I can be. Ashley Walton will be attending Harvest Baptist College in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Yeah, where's that, right? And it's really a wonderful place. It really is. And a good college. And I've got good confidence, and I think it's a great decision she's making. And Ashley will be attending, this is your third actual year, right? And because of the wreck and some sickness and different things, she's probably going to be, where are you at? Sophomore and a half or something like that. And so be in prayer for Ashley as she heads up there. And I'm not exactly sure. They're going to find out soon, trying to make travel plans as far as when they'll exactly be leaving. But it could be this week. It might be this week, right? So we'll keep you up on that. Kelsey Hall, little Kelsey Hall. The littlest Hall girl. What are we doing, brother? She graduated on the 26th. She's going to be going to Champion Baptist College in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And so Kelsey, of course, finished high school here last year, getting ready to take off, and we're happy for her and proud of her as we can be, and I want you to spend some time praying for Kelsey. We're going to get these young people posted on our prayer sheet so that you'll have them. We're going to update that in the next month anyway, and I want you to have these names and know where these young people are and praying for them. Chad Gordon is returning for his third year at Commonwealth Baptist College in Lexington, Kentucky. And Chad decided, told me, "Preacher, I don't feel called to preach, but I'll go a year to Bible college." And I said, "Okay, let's do that." And he said, "After 1 year, I feel like I should go back the second year." And I said, "Okay." And then he told me, "Well, I'm halfway through. I might as well finish." And so that's the plan. That's the plan. We talked about it. He's already talked to Brother Jorgensen. We're going to. Chad's done real well in Bible college. He's done well academically. He's handled the schedule well. We're accelerating things a little bit because of that. We looked at the idea of him being done in 3.5 years, and we've kind of set that as a goal. And we'll just see what God does. But he's going to go this year and probably one more semester and finish up and graduate, Lord willing. So pray for Chad, okay? Rachel Gordon is going for her second year. Man, I'm feeling old. Rachel Gordon is going for her second year of Commonwealth Baptist College at Lexington, Kentucky also. And Rachel, we're so proud of you. She's just done a great job. She had a great first year. And she did well in her classes, did well with her schedule. And she's going back. She feels like God wants her to continue her education there. Justin Daffern is going to be attending Shawnee Baptist College in New Albany, Indiana. And Justin already has been at Bible College. He went out at Brother Townsley's college for a while, and he had to lay out, pay off some bills and some debt. He's got that taken care of. He's reloaded and ready to go, and I'm proud of Justin. I'm proud of what he's done to put himself back in a situation to get himself back in Bible college. So that's our 10 young people that's going to be enrolled in Bible college. Now, I'm going to speak to them, but I feel like I need to, and I ought to. I want to give them some words of encouragement and exhortation. I'm probably not going to say one thing to them that they don't already know. You know, most of what you hear once you've been around this place is more of a reminder than a revelation. But you know what? As Christians, we need reminding. And many of the things that I'm going to tell you, you know, but you also don't know. You know it in concept. You know it in theory. But you're going to have to implement it into reality in a level that you've never had to this point in time. And so I ask the Lord specifically and seek in His face as far as what to speak to our young people about. But I'm just going to go to Proverbs chapter 3 and give you some good, solid Bible principles that I hope will help guide you. I wish you could have been in the meeting we had. I called the young people in at 6:15, said, "I want to meet with you if you're going to Bible college." And I got some information from them, contact information, gave them some contact, or I will give them some contact information. And I told the young people, I said, "We've got 3 new ones going to Bible college." I said, "After I get done with all my preliminaries, I just would like for those of you that have already been to Bible college for any amount of time, I'm going to give you a few minutes while I'm taking care of some things, but I want you to share some advice with these that are going for the first time." And I'm going to tell you, I probably should have just taped that and played it, and that would have been a good sermon. I mean that. Now, these young people that have already attended, from their experiences, were able to share from their heart with the other young people some things that I believe have genuinely helped them, and I think they took those things to heart. But I want to add a little bit to what you've already been given, also what your parents will give you and have given you and prepared you. But let's look at the Bible tonight. Let's just get some good Bible principles from the Lord. And by the way, we'll take the message tonight, we'll send a CD of this message to both Caleb and Lindsay and let them know that we love them and we're praying for them and share this also with them. Number one, let me give you some pieces of advice here. Number one, remember what you've been taught. remember what you've been taught. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, notice this, forget not. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. These are words that are written from a daddy to his boy. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? Don't forget what I've taught you. Don't forget the commandments. Notice the promise that goes with that. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. What's wonderful about this chapter is almost every word of exhortation comes with a promise. And God says here in this scripture, through inspiration, Solomon says to his son, listen, don't forget what you've been taught. Don't forget what you've been taught. Now, look at the second part of that verse. But let thine what? Heart keep my commandment. Let me just share this with you. And it's true with most young people. You've been taught some things. Some of you know them here, and some of you know them here. There's a lot of young people that's come through our system through the years. All of them have been taught the same things. All of them have been preached the same principles. All of them have been prepared equally from the pulpit, from the classroom. All of them know it here. Some of them know it here. And what I'm asking you is to take everything that you've been taught and take it from here and put it here. And let your heart keep the commandments. Let your heart keep the commandments. Remember what you've been taught. Now, in Bible college, you're going to learn more, but I want you to remember this. You're not being sent to Bible college so that you can have a foundation laid. That foundation has been laid. And I want you to take what you learn at Bible college, and I want you to build upon that foundation. You're going to, from time to time, hear some things that may seem opposite of what you've heard here. Mm-hmm. Let me say this. I'm not going to try to defend our position or diminish a different teaching. I'm going to dare you to compare both to this book. There's a lot of humanistic philosophy being taught even in independent fundamental Baptist circles. There's a lot of feel-good statements that just don't line up with Scripture. And I promise you, there were times in my Bible college experience that I'm sure a very good man came to the pulpit of our chapel and said some things that the Holy Spirit of God said to me, you know what? I just know that there's verses that say the opposite of that. And so what I want you to do is not say everything Mom and Dad and Blessed Hope taught is right and anything that is against that is wrong. What I want you to do is open this book and find out. But don't throw away quickly and lightly what's been given to you. Because you have had the privilege of attending a church that has grounded you firmly on the Scriptures. So number one, remember what you've been taught. Number two, look at verse 3 and 4. This is a wonderful exhortation. I even heard two of our college students encourage this in the lives of the new ones. But listen to what it says. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And again, the corresponding promise. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Well, I'd like to have that. I'd like to have favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If I'm going to have that, I must let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Now let me give you number two. Strive to be balanced in spirit and schedule. Strive to be balanced in spirit and schedule. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You're going to have and should have incorporated into your life mercy, but you can't throw truth away and defend it based on the fact that you're being merciful. But you can't throw mercy away and defend that on the basis that you're defending truth. So strive to be balanced in spirit and schedule. Let me give this to all of you, because this would be one of the greatest things that could help each and every one of us in our lives. We are imperfect people who are challenged to live a perfect book. We are imperfect people who are challenged to live a perfect book. Now, the only way that can work is if we have mercy and truth. Listen, we're not going to lower standards and lower truth and diminish truth. We're going to always keep that as our goal. We want to keep truth. But could I say this? And I hope some of you from Blessed Hope Baptist Church would listen. While you're standing firmly for truth, understand that we are all faulty. We're all sinners. We're all going to mess up. And that's why the Bible says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart." We don't do away with truth and say we're doing that because we're merciful. But we understand, as God reminded us, that we're but dust. And so in working with people, and even in dealing with yourself, you're going to have to balance out the fact that God has set a high standard, and you know what? Every day we're to live with it, live for that, and strive for that. But every day in some way we're going to miss it. And be merciful as you would want others to be merciful to you when you fall short. So strive to be balanced in spirit and balanced in schedule. I think that what I'm taught through this scripture, what I'm reminded of, is the fact that the Christian that finds favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man balances out mercy and truth. Doesn't do away with one or the other. He believes firmly in both of those things. And let me just say this, the balanced young person in Bible college will be the successful student in Bible college. You've got to balance out things. You have to understand that you're there to pass classes, and if you're going to pass classes, you have to go to those classes. You have to listen. You have to take notes. You have to get homework done, and then you've also got to, sometimes you have to work in order to pay for the college. And then there's ministry opportunities, and there's social opportunities, and if you're not careful, you'll hone in on one or two of them and let the other ones go, and the best students, the most successful students, are the one that says all of these things need to be done correctly. And let me just give you the key words: schedule, 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 schedule. You have to live by a schedule. Every day you can't say, "I think I'll do today whatever my roommates suggest I do today." If the question's asked, what are you doing this afternoon? That should be predetermined. Now, I'm not saying that if there's an opportunity opened, you might not be able to schedule it in and rearrange your schedule, but don't live by just whatever suggested by any person at any time. Your answer a lot of times will have to be, "You know, I'd like to go with you to the mall, but I've got to study for this. I'd like to help you. Watch this. I'd like to help you in that ministry, and I know you need help, but I've got to keep all of these other things balanced too, and I'm already serving here." And so you have to live in live balanced. Balanced in spirit and balanced in schedule. And if you do that, God will bless you. By the way, that'll work in real life too. Number 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Give the Lord your trust, your attention, and your obedience. Give the Lord your trust, your attention, and your obedience. Now the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge. And that word acknowledge is very interesting. If you look up that word, that means to pay attention to focus on. If you give the Lord your trust, you give the Lord your attention, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. When He points down a path, if you'll give Him your obedience, your trust, your attention, your obedience, you're not going to stray very far off the path. You're going to be okay. Now, one of the things that several of the college students said, they heard it, and then they found out it was true. It's something that's said often, and that is this. One of the easiest places to backslide in the world is in Bible college. Because if you're not careful, you begin to live off the spirituality of everybody around you. Well, I'm going to have chapel. There's no reason to read the Bible. Yes, there is. You must walk with God. Well, I'm going to have 3 Bible classes today, Pastor Area. I can forego. No, you can't. No, you can't. One of the young men said this. If you're waiting for that time in the morning where all of your roommates stop to have devotion so that you will too, you probably will never have them. Can I just say this? And Chad said this, and you know, it doesn't mean it's a bad Bible college. It just means that we are not doing a very good job, or young people get away from mom and dad's schedule and do not do these things on their own. But I can tell you this. I can remember the handful of roommates that I had that consistently every morning got up and walked with God. But they were not the majority. I want you to be that exception. I want your roommates to have somebody in their room, whether you're a freshman or whether you're into your third year, that later on will say, you know what, I went to Bible college and I really didn't, you know, I knew I should, but I didn't really read my Bible and pray and walk with the Lord like I have. But I had a roommate that every morning, number one priority, they walked with the Lord. So give the Lord your trust, your attention, and your obedience. If you do, you know what, you're not going to stray far off the right path. Verse 7 and 8, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let me give you number 4. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. The danger of youth, the greatest danger of youth is pride. The Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Now that means you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to realize you don't have all the answers. You have to remain teachable. You have to be teachable. Listen. Take notes. Pay attention. Get counsel. Don't make any major and most minor decisions without good counsel. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. I don't know who it is, and hopefully there'll be nobody on this front row. But the young person on this front row, it gets to the point where you think you know more than your mom and dad, and you know more than your preacher, and you know more than people around you that's trying to help you, you are going to flame out. You are set for destruction. Okay? Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Good students. I mean good students. Get a year of Bible college under the belt. 2 years of Bible college under their belt. Let me just give you something else. If you finish 4 years of Bible college and your master's and your PhD, and you get all that done, and your parents have never gone one semester to Bible college, they will still know more than you do in most areas of life. Yeah. You know why? Because they just live longer. Amen. I don't mind knowledge. I just sometimes hate what it does. The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. And sometimes if we're not careful, we forget that the purpose of learning is not to give us a big head, but to give us a humble heart. It's to prepare us to serve others. not to lord over others our superior education. I know and have known a number of well-educated fools. So you can become well-educated without becoming a fool. Or you can become a well-educated fool. But don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. Let me give you this, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Let me give you this. These verses are giving us admonition concerning our finances. Number 5, keep your finances in order. Keep your finances in order. Now, of course, these verses are encouraging us to not forget that God always comes first. Young people, listen to me. If you go to Bible college, attend Bible college, make straight A's, but you don't tithe, you're not right with God. You don't tithe and give offerings, you're not right with God. If you don't pay your bills, if you don't keep your finances in order, then you're missing out on one of the most important areas of training and preparation for your entire life, whether you end up in ministry or not. So keep your finances in order. Be diligent. Live by a budget. For some of you in this row here, for the very first time in your life, it's going to be mostly up to you to keep track of those things. If that's true, I think it's time, if you haven't, to sit down and have a talk with Mom and Dad. Are you listening? Get a budget. Live by a budget. Come up with a plan. Just like your schedule dictates to you what you're supposed to do with your time, your budget dictates to you what you're supposed to do with your finances. You're at times going to want to give to something. And if the Holy Spirit so impresses you, fine. But you've got to be careful that you meet all of your responsibilities. If you have a bill that's owed, say you owe $50, and you got $50 in your pocket, and you're sitting in a service, and you've already given tithes and offering, but there's a plea that goes out for finances, and you take the $50 out of your pocket and give it, you didn't give your $50. You didn't give your $50. You gave someone else's $50. Amen. Keep your finances in order. Keep your finances in order. Come up with a budget. Work enough to pay your bills. But don't work any more than you have to if you can't and still balance out everything else you've got to do. Keep your finances in order. Number 6, let me give you this. Well, this will help you a ton. Look at verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. I love this. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son, in whom he delighteth. Now, young people, one of the greatest tests, one of the greatest indicators of your long-term usefulness for the Lord is how you respond to correction. Let me tell you what's going to happen when you go to Bible college. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up here or there. Some dorm soup's going to chew you out. Some teacher's going to call you on the carpet. You may get that encouraging phone call from Mom or Dad that begins, "Hey, idiot." You know what? Correction's a part of life. Now, if you want to, every time somebody starts, and by the way, maybe not nobody, but I think most people don't enjoy correcting someone else, even if it's your own kids. I'd rather encourage than correct. But people that love you correct you. And the Bible says, listen, take it. Take it. Take it to heart. You know, somebody pulls you over You've been there for about 3 weeks and somebody pulls you over and says, listen, your dorm, this is the problem. I want to correct it. Don't get in an argument with them. Fix it. Teacher holds you after class and said, listen, I've been watching your assignments. You're doing subpar work. You need to put more effort into what you're doing. Don't sit there and argue with them or defend it. Thank them. You know why? Because they see in you this potential and they know you're only given this. The best teachers and the people in your life that you'll learn to appreciate on down the road the most are the ones that would not let you get by with a half effort. It would not say that something 90% done was good enough. It's the people in your life that challenge you to be your best. And they do that sometimes through correction. That's the best, some of the best friends you have in the world. So number one, remember what you've been taught. Number two, strive to be balanced in spirit and schedule. Number three, give the Lord your trust, your attention, your obedience. Number four, don't be a know-it-all. Number five, keep your finances in order. Number six, respond correctly to correction. And number seven, this is the last one, make the attainment of wisdom the principal thing. Make the attainment of wisdom the principal thing. Weren't those beautiful verses that we read? Beginning in verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Oh, if we could get America, we could get Christians to believe that again. She is more precious than rubies. All things, the things that thou canst desire, not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Chapter 4, let's jump over to verse number 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, for get it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine hand an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver. Now, why are we sending you off to Bible college? We're sending you there so that you can gain wisdom. You can gain wisdom. Some of you are going and you are not sure about God's ultimate direction in your life. You know what? Through the process that you're going to go through, if you'll be open to it, God will give you the wisdom to know. He'll give you the wisdom to know. So go there, and it's not a matter of how many facts and figures you can memorize, how much knowledge you can accumulate. One of the things you'll find out is, yes, knowledge puffeth up. But wisdom doesn't do that. There's a difference between accumulating knowledge and gaining wisdom. So everything you learn and all of the knowledge that you increase, that's good. But ask God also to match that with godly wisdom so you'll know what to do with it.